Okay, good.
All right, we're on. Oh, can we record from the back? Cool. Okay, let's go. I just want to mention one thing, which maybe we'll come back to in a little greater length when we get to Siman Kuf Tzadi, and maybe we won't even go through this whole Piskei Tshuva. But the beginning is was one like little side point. In the main point of Kuf Pei Gimel is why you shiv nekiyam for even a kipat dam kechardol. But one of the things that was thrown in here is v'vuhusha targish biyitziyaso. Right, that a woman is only tameya if she has a hargosha. So the Shach points out in Sfkatan Beis that that's true midoraisa midrabanan. She's tameya without a hargosha. That's what's called ksamim stains. If she finds a stain, and that's a whole set of halachos. But we'll see, it's very important to distinguish between the Doraisa of Hargasha and the Drabanan of Ksamim, because they're not really the same. And the Drabanan of Ksamim, there's many kulas where you're not really Tameya, so it's not really such a strong term of Drabanan. Okay, the Achronim here, do you come in the Shach? Maybe we'll save that for some Kavtzadi. I just want to point out the very first Piskei Tshuva in Hilchos Nida says, what is the Hargasha? What is the feeling a woman has when she gets her period that, you know, is so significant, that midoraisa, she's not tameya unless she has a hargasha. So what is this hargasha? So he brings down three opinions, this Piskei Tshuva. Number one, the Rambam has one line where he says, nizdaza gufa. It's really, it's a case. Even when she didn't have a hargasha, didn't have this, guf wasn't nizdazaya, but that sort of hints that maybe, ziyazua haguf, meaning tremors in her body. Okay, maybe that's the feeling of a woman getting her period. The second one, he quotes from the Lashon of the, okay, Kemavur, Besimim, etc., which is really from the Lashon of Trumas Hadeshen. She feels she niftach mekora. She feels the uterus opening. Okay. And the third is controversial. Right, so if we ask, here is the Pesach Tshuva, Kuf Pei Gimel Aleph, what is Hargasha? What is the woman supposed to feel? So one shot is the Rambam. Now keep in mind, none of these Rishonim are saying I'm going to find Hargasha. It's just a line in the Rambam. So maybe I'll call it Alpi the Rambam. Right? Alpi the Rambam. Nidaza a Gufa. Okay, she has tremors in her body. Alpi the Trumas Hadeshen. Sichas pi hamakor, the opening of the entrance to the uterus. Okay, exactly how you're supposed to feel that. I guess you feel that your uterus has opened. You know, hard for me to relate to. But maybe there's, if I had a uterus, maybe I would feel it opening. Okay, the third one is controversial. And that is the Noda Behuda is the main shita here. Zivas Doverlach. Right, she feels something wet. She feels something. she feels something's wet. Wet. That's actually on the sheet here. Right, I brought the note of Yehuda in part the second side of the sheet, which I guess I called Gimel. Says the note of Yehuda. He says that you need Hargasha in the Torah. What is this Hargasha? Is it that you need to mamash feel the uterus opening, or just you feel something wet on your, you know, the blood, something wet on her flesh? No, even if she didn't feel a mamish opening, she just feels the blood flowing out. That's obviously something that women feel. They feel the blood falling out. That still counts as a hargasha. And what's his proof? His proof is that the drusha that Shmuel makes in Daf Nun Zayin is yezova bivsara. Bivsara means she feels it in her basar. There's another drasha. The drasha bivsara says that she's tameh even if the blood is still inside her body, not in the makar. The makar hasn't come out yet, but in the beis hachitzon. So we see this basar is the basar of the beis hachitzon after it leaves the uterus. So if she feels a feeling after it leaves the uterus, put these two drushas together, she's tameh. So we see here the drasha is not opening the uterus. The drasha is something that happens after it leaves the uterus. So therefore, when she feels it on her skin, even after it leaves the uterus, she is tameya. So this is controversial.
This is controversial. Whether it counts. Zivas Dover Lach. The Noda Behuda says that it counts as a Hargasha.
The Chassam Sofer, and many argue with him. I have the Chassam Sofer here on the sheet as well, and it's in the Pesach Tshuva. The Chassam Sofer is always in brackets in the Pesach Tshuva because, you know, when they printed the Chassam Sofer, he added them all afterwards. I would say almost all brackets, which are parentheses in the Pesach Tshuva, are Chassam Sofers. He just, like, you know, had to go and fill them in because it's the Chassam Sofer. Hine says the Chassam Sofer on the sheet also, Hine B'Shuvish of Yaakov Mochiyat Al Karchach Zivos Dovalach Lav Hargasha, which doesn't count. That's not a Hargasha, that's just afterwards. That's not a Hargasha. Midamrinam Rish Perka Roa Kessin Gavim Reglaim, Mida Argisha Yoshevs Maitori Velo Argisha, etc. Because, okay, he brings a D from the Shakalataria when she's urinating and says, did she feel, did she not feel? What do you mean? Obviously she felt something while she was urinating. So that must be, so how can they not know if she felt it or not? So it must be the Hargasha is something else. Not just feeling something wet, because then there would be no suffix whether a person who's urinating had a hargasha. Okay, now you could go back and forth. If you look in the Chavos Das here, he argues. Anyway, Lamaisa says the Chassam Sofer, it's not a hargasha. That's not a hargasha. What's a hargasha? Hargasha has to be the feeling of the uterus opening, or the feeling in her body has a tremor because the uterus opens, not just something wet afterwards. The Chavos Das also argues, right in the back here, if you look in the back of the Shulchan Aruch and the Pesach Tshuva, and you don't have to look in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, I think the Pesach Tshuva quotes him, does he not? Maybe not. Ashlish Nimtza, etc. Uvesefer Chavos Das. Okay, it just says ayin. But if you look in the Sefer Chavos Das, like he said, he would say, he says, no, maybe it's true that Zivas Davar Lach, feeling something wet, counts as Hargasha, but only Beina Shinayim, only in the cervix, like as it comes out of the uterus, not after it already left, which is basically Chashiv Hargasha Rak in Hergisha Zivas Davar Lach Bein Hashinayim. Meaning, Lamaisa, not if she feels it come out afterwards like the Noda Behuda thinks, only if she feels something wet as it's manish leaving the entrance to the uterus. Okay, so the Chassam Sofer says feeling something wet doesn't count. Chavos Das says it would count if she felt it manish as it was leaving the uterus. But that's not a common case. Noda Behuda says it does count. The question is, even it in the Noda Behuda, what did he mean? And here, the later Chanum argue in the Nehuda, where did she have to feel it in order for it to count as Hargasha? Chassam Sofer says feeling's not Hargasha. Chavos Das says only at the opening of the uterus, Bein HaShinayim. We had a diagram last time. What did the Noda Behuda mean? So here, it's not so clear what the Noda Behuda means. Does he mean... anywhere she feels it, it counts as a... anywhere she feels it, it counts as a Hargasha. Like, if she feels it on her feet, she counts as a Hargasha. Or no, if you're medayik in the Noda Behuda, and this would also, you know, help to answer the Chassam Sofer's kasha, maybe, although there are other ways. If you're medayik in the Noda Behuda, what does he say? He says, bivsara. What does bivsara mean? Bivsara means the Beis Achitzom. Right? What does he say? Bivsara means the blood is metami as soon as it gets to the Beis Achitzom. And bivsara means she has to feel in her basar. Sounds like you have to feel the basar Beis Achitzom. Not if she feels it like way afterwards after it drips onto her leg. Only if she feels it soon afterwards when it comes to the Beis Achitzom. So it's really meduyak mi lashon hanoda bihuda that rak in hirgisha the Beis Achitzom. Only if she, yeah.
You're saying that Chatzim Sofer and Chavos Das were only arguing on the Noda Behuda because they thought that he meant...
No, the Chavos Das says even not in the Beis Achitzom, right. In Beit HaShinayim, and the Chatzim Sofer says not at all. Now, it could be that's what they thought he meant. You know, it's not clear what they thought he meant, but definitely they are arguing even on this formulation. I don't know what they thought he meant, but they're definitely arguing even on that formulation.
What do you think, the Beis Achitzom is certainly... Like, on the cervix, or...
No, Beis Achitzom is outside the cervix.
Beis Achitzom is outside. Right, so he's saying the Beis Achitzom, but certainly the entire...
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, obviously. Okay, Lemaisa, we're now not so clear. The Sam Sofer says Igos Tavalach doesn't count. Chavos Da says it counts, but only like mamish at the opening of the uterus. Nodi Huda seems to say it counts, but only Beis Achitzo, not like outside mamish. Or maybe, if you want, you could say Nodi Huda means even outside mamish. What problem is this? Why is all this relevant? All this relevant because we have a big mystery Bizman Hazeh. What's the big mystery Bizman Hazeh and all of the modern day Achronim? Modern day Achronim mean like last 100 years. Discuss this, which is that if you ask your wife or, you know, other, you take a statistical survey of women nowadays, if you can find a polite way of doing that, then they say they don't feel the blood coming out at all. Like, if you would stop a woman and say, you know, just like, tell me when you feel that you started bleeding your period, they would say, I can't tell you that. So how do they know they got their period? They know they got their period because either when they get undressed, they see a red stain, that's samim, or, yeah, if they bleed and a lot of blood collects on their underwear, then they feel their underwear's wet, like zivas dover lach, like on their clothing. Or perhaps, you know, they could feel it like dripping someplace if it would drip through, etc. But they don't really feel the blood coming out. They only feel a long time afterwards. If it, you know, if it collects on their underwear, there's no. Basically, all the women say, I don't know what this Chazal are talking about. You have hargasha of the blood coming out. All the women say we don't have hargasha. So the question is, how do you have nida d'oraisa nowadays? And even though we haven't officially gotten shin kotzai or even terribly close yet, but those of us who have chassan classes who know about ksamim know that right a kesem is not matame if it's uncolored. Okay, so let a woman just always wear colored underwear, and she'll never be in need at all if she doesn't have argasha, right? So she's not argasha, then it's only a kesem. Kesem doesn't count if it's uncolored clothing. So, what do you mean? There's no nida nowadays? Nida is only something in the old days? What's pshat? How do you have nida d'oraisa nowadays? And all the mainstream poskim assume, or all the poskim I've read, assume that there's still nida d'oraisa nowadays. Nida's not, you know, it's not been so remote. It's not something that the Haya, the Lo Nifra. There's Nida D'oraisa nowadays. Okay, but how is there Nida D'oraisa nowadays if the women don't have a Hargasha? So here is the question mark. Question is, how is there Nida D'oraisa nowadays? And again, the reason this is such a difficult question is not just because, okay, so say there's Nida D'Rabbanan nowadays, big deal. No, because if there's Nida D'Rabbanan nowadays, then if you wear clothing, there would be no color, there would be no Nida at all. So, you know, how can we have to keep Hochas Nida nowadays if there's no Hargasha? That's the question. So, there are a few answers to this question. Let me share a few answers to this question. They're not really all on this sheet. Some of them are really beremes, and one of them I accidentally left out, an important mucker from the sheet. But one possibility is, if you hold like one shot of the note of Yehuda, then you could say, what do you mean there is Argasha nowadays? The woman feels that her underwear is wet. Which she feels something wet dripping. Okay, does it have to be dripping? Can it happen on her underwear? Let's assume as long as she feels something wet someplace. She feels something wet. Okay. Let's count that as a zifa. You could say, no, maybe it's only the Yehuda meant she feels it dripping, not as she feels it collected on her underwear. So maybe that's even more of a stretch. Okay, but maybe at some point she'll feel like some drop dripping someplace, you know, moving someplace. So, number one, Amtin Tzolomar, V'kaimelon, Kedas, Hanoda B'Yehuda, V'yam, D'Kavonas, Hanoda B'Yehuda, Sh'afilu Zivas Dover Lach Mibechutz Mamish Choshev Hargasha, then it's Micha. Now, well, does every woman feel every time? No, but most women, most of the time. Now, obviously, a woman can maybe get her period, it'll be a little drop, she won't feel it. You know, but in general, when a woman gets her period, she will feel that something is wet at some point, or at least the vast majority of people. And therefore, then it makes sense. We still have Hargasha nowadays. A woman's going to feel something wet eventually. Not the moment it comes out. It'll take a while to get through the Beis Achitzon, and then it'll take a while to she... Eventually she will... I mean, eventually, in a few years. Eventually that day she'll feel something wet.
Is this connected to what the Torah said about how because of the galus is everything like different?
Well, you'd think that should only apply to our halachic expertise or our powers of logic, not to what we feel. So that's a little tricky. Okay, but I'll come back. That's one answer. The only problem is that yeah.
Just like historically, when did this happen?
It's very hard to tell because I could tell you when the Achronim started wondering about it. I can tell you when historically it happened because keep in mind, this is just because someone didn't write about something historically didn't mean it didn't happen, especially since, keep in mind, this is a little tricky. Only men wrote halacha or any books, right, in the old days. And only women did or didn't have hargasha. So, you know, who knows how many hundreds of years. The women didn't have Hargusha, and the men wrote about Hargusha, and the men never necessarily asked the Kasha, oh, the women don't have Hargusha. Because maybe, like, no one brought that up. Maybe it wasn't something we discussed all the time. You know, it's a little hard. Meaning, you know, it's a little tricky. I don't know. Like, I could be a big posek in 1700, and I don't know if old women have Hargusha or not. Once one woman came to you with a shayla and did or didn't, but that doesn't prove anything. So it's not, so I have no idea. The answer is I have no idea. The Gemara, the take it as a double push, the more even takes it as a double push, like the Hargusha, like it's mom should feel like a woman gets her period in the middle of the night, she'll wake up because she feels the Hargusha. The Gemara, mamish, it's like a strong feeling. You know, I mean painful, I mean strong. You know, like you're something really noticeable. And nowadays there's no noticeable feeling at all. It's really a mystery. It's really a mystery. Could it be Nishtana Hatem? I don't know. It's really a mystery. Okay, according to one shot in the Ode Behuda, it's not a mystery. What do you mean? It didn't mean a feeling of blood coming out. It just meant something wet. And you know what? Maybe a woman would wake up at night and she felt something wet. I don't know. Even though the Gemara makes it sound not like something. Okay, you never know. Okay, that's one shot. If we would possibly like it, then we would know what Hargasha is nowadays. And everything would make sense. What's another possibility? But Lemaisa, most poskim don't take this derech. Lemaisa, most poskim don't take this derech. They say, no, that doesn't make sense. What's the mean reason it doesn't make sense? The poskim assume that the hargasha has to be at the time of the tumah. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, the blood comes out. The hargasha is 10 minutes later. According to this read of the Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, according to the other child, who's only Beis Achitzo, say, you know, it's Beis Achitzo, the Beis Achitzo, so they're totally deeper, she feels the Beis Achitzo, that's okay. But according to this radical read of the Ode Behuda, which may not actually exist, the Hargasha might come half an hour later. Doesn't make any sense. The blood came out. Either she's in either or she wasn't. What, we're going to find out half hour later retroactively? It does. So therefore, Lemaisa, the poskim do not like, I'm putting the poskim, you'll find someone who does, I'm sure. The most poskim do not like this shot. Second shot is the Tzitz Eliezer, really before him it was the Maram Shek. That's also on this sheet. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, it's, you know, sort of a little, starts halfway down the sheet, quotes the Rambam Pasak, Dargoshas Dam Veshes Hu, Shetar. Now, the Rambam, you could look up the Rambams. It's not 100% clear what the Rambam is trying to say. If it was 100% clear, it would be the sheet of the Rambam. But the Tzitz Eliezer, and before him the Maharam Shik, but, you know, he sort of follows the Derech of the Maharam Shik, and he quotes a few others, who are Medayik for the Rambam, Shetardish Ma'atma Fahekes, Umateshis, Vechoshes, Pikresim, Shul Puli Me'el, V'Yistamer, Samas, B'sor, Yechom, B'sor, Chiyot, V'mor, Zayla. He says, what is our Gusha? Yawning, and flatulence, and cramps, and her hair standing on edge, or something in her hair, or a slight fever, etc. King posted her gimel from time of Mishkan Moshe, etc. Mosel a rosha covered a leo, or a headache, or a varkver in a leo, or, you know, a feeling of some tiredness in her limbs. Kavanas Rambam Vorba said, the Hain Bar Goshadam Vesa Zet Tameh Humina Torah. What does a Hargosha mean for the Rambam? It means what we're all familiar with as, you know, menstrual syndromes, right? When a woman gets her period, everyone's a little different. But, you know, some women have it a little harder, some women easier. But every woman, she gets her period, she notices certain things change in her body. You know, often, you know, she feels in a bad mood, or she's, you know, she feels all kinds. That's very, very common, feels all kinds of things in her body, some of which are bad things, some of which are neutral things. And he says that's the hargasha. Very boring. Even nowadays, women, what do you mean women don't feel when they get their period?
they don't feel necessarily psichas pi amakar, but they feel strange feelings, like a woman feels different at that time of the month. And he wants to say that's what the Rambam meant by ziyazua haguf. It's a little dachuk, but he didn't mean a tremor in her body. He meant like something's different in her body. Okay. And then he quotes later, a little later, that the Parashat Yirmeyahu read this pshat in the Rambam, et cetera. okay. So the Maram Sheker and the Tzitz Eliezer. The Maram Sheker, the big one of the biggest Talmudim of the Talmud Sofer, in Hungary. I think Sheker's still a bit Hungarian, you know. Okay, and the Tzitz Eliezer, the old Posek of Shari Tzedek, when I was your age, from Eretz Yisrael, they say no. It doesn't mean what you think it means, like some like sudden feeling of the blood starts flowing. It means the general premenstrual syndromes that come at that time of the month, and then we do have it nowadays. And if a woman would bleed without feeling anything funny, then she wouldn't be a nidah d'oraisa. But most women do feel something funny around that time of the month. Yaakov, you want to ask something?
What do they do with that
Gemara,
though?
That is one of the classic kashas. The reason why a lot of poskim don't agree with this. Now, it's hard to tell what's really true. You know, but is that a Chazal made it sound like mamish the moment the blood flows, you'd wake up, right? Now, no women have any cramps or any headaches or anything that come like the moment their blood starts flowing. It comes around that time of the month, you know, a few days beforehand, etc. You know, these are not mamish b'shah that she becomes a nida. These are vaguely around that time, within a few days. It doesn't sound really more like Hargusha as Yaakov did something within a few days. It's a little funny. Like, the Gemara doesn't say Hargusha is within a few days. So, it's very strange. Lemaisa, the poskim don't agree. Most poskim, it's not poskim. It's also poskim. Most poskim don't agree that it's Eliezer. For the same reason they don't agree that Pshat and Yehuda. They said the Hargusha that the Halacha talks about is Hargusha that comes when she becomes a Nida. Not afterwards and not beforehand. And the Tzitz Eliezer isn't telling us something that happens mamish the moment she becomes a nida. Something that happens us, a couple days beforehand. So, okay, how do I know? But Lamaisa, that's not what we generally assume. So let's see. Let's try to find another shot, what we generally assume. So there's a Tosos Rid. I should have put it on the Makoros, I apologize. But you can look it up. In Nida Nun Zayin Mud Beis 57b, says the Tosos Rid, I think it's first one, even the first line of the first one there, says the Tosus Rid, it's not in the Gemara, sorry, says the Tosus Rid, he said, when the Gemara says a Hargasha, it's not really Xeris Akasa that you need a Hargasha. It's just that you need to be sure, she needs to be sure it's from her body and not a stain from someplace else. Meaning, you know, what does a Kesa mean in the old days? A stain. Remember, they didn't have underwear in the old days. So it means on her skirt she found a red stain. You know, it's likely to be Damida, but it could be something else. Where he even says, the ground is clean, she sat down on it, she got up, and there was a red stain on the ground. It could be there was a red stain on the ground the whole time. You know, she didn't really check that carefully. So says the Tosos Rid that really Hargasha is Lavdavka. The ikker is to be sure that it's Damida and not from something else. There's a giant Sidrei Tara in the beginning of Simen Kuf Tzadi. Sidrei Tara is in the back of your Gemara. It's not here, it's in the beginning of Kuf Tzadi. Who wants to be a Dayak, then Mimadayak in a couple of Rishonim like that Tosos Rid, who don't say it explicitly, in Rashi and others. He wants to be Mimadayak in some Rishonim like that Tosos Rid. Okay, in the end, he's not 100% saying that. He doesn't pass that. In the end of the diet, it's already shown him, so maybe you could say this is the Tosos Rid on Daf Yon Zayin Amud Beis and the Sidrei Tara
I'm pretty sure it's Kutsadi Aleph. Sivkatan Aleph. I don't have Kutsadi here. Okay. I think it's Sivkatan Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. Sadi Gimel. Okay. Good thing. Boy, that was way off. Good thing I put it on the sheet. That's way off. You see how long some Kutsadi is, by the way. Kutsadi, Sivkatan Sadi Gimel. It's a long Siv. Who say that Hargasha is Lav Davka, Veha'ikar Hu Yediya Vadois Shehadam Ba Migufa. Now, if so, if really Hargasha is Lav Davka, yes, the more talks about Hargasha, and whatever it meant, we don't care. But the point wasn't Hargasha, the point was to know that it's from her guf. If so, then hold on a second. If so, then nowadays, it's, even without Hargasha, you need to do Raisa. So we have something that's just as good as Hargasha. It's called underwear. Right? Once upon a time, how did you know it came from your goof? Maybe it was from someplace else. But nowadays, we have underwear. And you can take off your underwear and you can see exactly where the blood came from, because it's the right part of the spot in your underwear. So obviously it came from your goof. Where else would it have come from? Right? How else is it going to get it? It's on your underwear. Right? So nowadays, we have underwear. It's a good substitute for Hargasha, and you have Nida D'Oraisa. Right? So therefore, according to this, of course you have Nida D'Oraisa. Whenever you see Dam, whenever a woman sees Dam on her underwear, in the right part of her underwear, you know, that's right, Kenege, the Beis HaChitzon, where else could it have come from? I'm assuming there's no other strange explanation where it would have come from, then that's Vada Migufa, that's good enough. Okay, the Tosfos written this in Sidrei Tara don't necessarily finish the sentence this way, they're just stomp talking in theory. You know, I guess I'm going to say, no, even if Tosfos is written, how does she know she doesn't have a cut in exactly that part of her body, and maybe it wasn't done? No, but I think it's pretty clear to me that
you could have some sort of really weird feelings, you got a stomach bug, like you don't know exactly.
Right, okay. Correct. So the Maisa, the question is, do we paskin that way? Most poskim don't paskin that way either. Even the Sidrei Tara concludes that no, there's really xeris a custom of Hargasha, and it's not enough to know it's Vadei Migufa. In the end, the Pesachim, Sidrei Tara concludes that Svei Dinim. You need to have Hargasha and know it's Vadei Migufa. But you need to have Hargasha.
Did they explain why for Nida we change like our standard for Dindo Raisa?
Because we darsha from Pasuk. After all, it's not only Nida. Tell me another Dindo Raisa that only applies if you're a Vadei. Even 90% is not good enough. You don't know other Dina D'Oraisa like that?
Kill someone, please don't kill someone.
Maybe. But, and Mamzer, right? Darshan Mamzer, Vada, Philosophic Mamzer. Or, Meiser Behema. Right? Everyone remember from Simon Wilson? Right? I might bring back fond memories or traumatic memories, I'm not sure, from Tanfo Cohen. I think fond memories. But Asiri Vada, Philosophic. In some cases, we Darshan D'Oraisa, then it has to be a Vada, special Jairus Kassav. Okay, that's another possibility. Lemites and the poskim don't like these possibilities. So what's another option? Let's look at the Orcha Shulchan on the sheet. It says the Orcha Shulchan Da. The Orcha Shulchan is before the Tzitz Eliezer, right? The Orcha Shulchan is one of the first people who are actually asking this question, right? Which is about 100 years ago. Okay, he found it in an earlier makor. The Amru Lo She Tivis. Okay, his question was not as harsh as mine. He says, some women have no argasha. Nowadays, I think all women have no argasha practically. Okay. So you want to say, let's go like this Noda Yehuda formulation that Bahevel Yifze. So what is the Orcha Shulchan answer? He says, no, we're not going to count feeling something wet on the outside. On her leg. No, Bahevel, what are we going to say? Bahevel Yifze Pianashma Eila. No, these women are speaking foolishness. They don't know what they're talking about. They say they don't have Hargasha, they're wrong. Right? It's in Shas, they do have Hargasha. You know, what are we going to listen to them or to Shas? Rabbi Sina Nemanim, only Yosef Ahem. We believe when Chazal says they have Hargasha more than the women who say they don't have Hargasha. And now, what do you mean they're lying? The Gam Einim Ashakros, not that they're lying. Why would they lie about this? Elishim Mavinos, they just don't fully understand what we're asking and what they're reporting. They must have a lack of understanding. Now here it gets very philosophical. I don't know if anyone studied epistemology. Like, can you be wrong about reporting what you feel? Right? Maybe by definition, I can't be wrong about what I feel. I can only be wrong about other things. Okay, but the Orcha Shulchan does not think that.
He thinks you could be wrong about what you feel. They're mistaken. And therefore, Vidash, Kol Dover, Mosar, Shavagosh, Shavagosar, Lechosim, Tvia, Karashor, Teva, Gosh, Yigaz, Man, Chifas, Mokhov, Shigifs, Koz, Nikve, Aplita, Shako, Istum, Sor, Tchis, Mosar, Nispat, Ruvios, Lechos, Kumisil, Gdolin, Tan, Tos, Achotim, Uvishin, Tos, Nitosafka, Adobe, Amok, Chifs, Mosar, Zesh, Sas, Vidar, etc. Okay, so he says, no, it's part of the way Hashem created that whenever you have to expel something not necessary from the body, there is some opening, there's some feeling to it. So he says, the women really do feel, they just don't know that they feel. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I didn't put on the sheet, says pretty. It says the same thing. He's quoted in the... it's not so clear what he meant. But he seems to say they really do feel it. Not 100% clear what he means, but the Aruch HaShulchan is very clear. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, they really do have Hargasha. They just don't know they have Hargasha. Which, again, is philosophically complicated. That's what he says, they really do have Hargasha. Okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe once upon a time people were more in touch with their bodies. Nowadays, in our, you know, industrial era, maybe people are less in touch with their nature, and so they don't necessarily know everything that they're feeling inside for whatever reason, whether it's the hectic pace of modern life, or, you know, whether it's the, you know, the, I don't know, the sensory pollution of modern cities, whatever it may be, they're not in touch with their feelings, says the Aruch HaShulchan. You know, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Margishos, they really do have Hargasha. What Hargasha they have? They feel the uterus opening. Oh, they all tell me they don't? It's because they don't understand what they feel. Okay, very, very tricky. Lemaisa, very tricky. It could be, but a little hard. Lemaisa, we're left with something that I don't think is a great proof, but it's an interesting shita, with Rebel Yashiv. Says Rebel Yashiv, the last thing on this page. Vehine, he says, halacha psuka barambam perdel misuribia vafilu ikitana shabbas batam nida vafilu yomli dasa. You can become a nida, even a one-day-old girl can become a nida. Just not necessary information, but interesting information. The Gemara says a one-day-old girl can become a nida, and a 10-day-old girl can become a zava gedola. Right? Because like after 7 days of nida, then the first 3 days of yeshiva. It sounds like one of these things like, okay, just because something's discussed in Shas doesn't mean it can actually happen, right? But that's okay, that's the derech. But this one actually can. This one is not true. This is actually a really practical case. Not practical for us because we don't have Tumah Batara, so who cares if a one-day-old girl is in Eda, right? It makes no nafkamina for us. Although maybe, you know, maybe it can have some nafkamina someplace down the line. But it is actually interesting because it could happen. Why? Because when a baby is born, they share the bloodstream of the mother. I know it comes through the placenta, etc. The mother has a lot of hormones at the time of birth, and those go through the bloodstream into the baby girl. And a baby girl actually could become a nida as soon as she's, you know, right after she's born, because of all the hormones that are not age appropriate for a one-day-old girl that came through the mother's bloodstream. I don't know exactly how it works, but so I've been told by people who know medicine. So maybe it could happen, but that's not important. Uvanida. Daflamid Bez, Maisa, which we look called Me'ima, there was even a Maisa in the Gemara. They told her before her mother finished her Tumas Leda. How did the one day old girl feel it? Yeah, I'm not so convinced it's a good Kasha. Maybe she does feel it, she just doesn't know how to tell us her feelings. Meaning, go. No, but there it's easier. Like, she does feel it, she just doesn't know how to tell us. Like, if she could communicate, she would tell us. Okay. In any case, that's a whole question, like, right? I don't know. How much intellectual development do you need to have a feeling? I don't know. No, okay, but a girl only 12 years old can have kavana and do a lot of things. Meaning, maybe not das, but certainly can have, you know, a girl under 12 years old can write a get, lishma, with adult supervision. So I'm saying, yeah, you know, that doesn't bother, as we'll learn this year. Okay. The other things also, this is what we'll learn this year. That'll be very important. It'll be very, very important. It doesn't matter if it's a girl on 12 or 13, that a cotton or katana, the right to get will be very important, but not for this part of the day. So in any case, it must be that there's not a t'nai that in hargasha to be have tumas nida. It must be only the lack of hargasha makes her tahora. Okay, let's just
figure out what he's trying to say. What is he trying to say? And, you know, you can read the rest on your own time. He makes a fascinating diuk from the Gemara. The Gemara says, how can a darsha b'fsara mean she's only tamei if she has a hargasha? There's another darsha, drasha b'fsara. She's only tamei if the blood comes out stam in her flesh, not if it comes out inside a piece of something. So how can you? So the okay, the Gemara basically darshas two things from b'fsara. Well, Yashiv's diuk is how can you darshan two things from b'fsara? Right. Well, like I think I understood correctly. Also, at the same kasha made the exact same diuk, and then was found that he was mechame. So the how do you have two things? So if you look in the Rishonim there in the Sugya, the Rashba and others, they sound like the reason why she's not tamei if the dam comes out in a piece of something is it's not the normal derech. So put two and two together. So you know what Bavsar means? Bavsar just means the normal derech. Basar is a word for derech, right? Derech kol basar. So what's what Yashiv is saying? She's hargasha doesn't mean dafka hargasha. It means the normal way. It means the normal way. So, in the old days, the normal way was you would feel it. And if you didn't feel it, that was abnormal. How about nowadays if no woman has argasha? If no woman has argasha, then without argasha is the normal way and you're still tamei d'oraisa. That's Rabbi Yashiv's big chumar. So everything's tamei d'oraisa nowadays, says Rabbi Yashiv. Kovetz Chuvos, that's the Chuvos of Rabbi Yashiv. Not to be confused with, you know, the last few years of his life when everyone just, you know, asked him random questions, then reported their understanding of what he said. But he also has a few volumes of, like, you know, mamish, like proper Piskei Halacha, like with explanations at a great length, et cetera, that can't be misunderstood. Some very, very fascinating ones, including this was tremendous chumra. I don't know if anyone listens to him. I'll tell you why in a moment. I mean, in general, it's not clear to me, like, enough in politics, etc. Like, did Rabbi Yashiv have mamish talmidim who listened to, like, every single thing he said, even if it was not mainstream? Or no, just some famous things that people made famous that felt liked. If he had any real talmidim, then they would have a big chumra here. Says Rabbi Yashiv, he says a reinterpretation. He says, hargasha lav davka, ela derech re'iya. Only the normal derech re'iya. And bisman hazeh, without hargasha, is the normal derech re'iya. Right? Bisman hazeh, haderech liros, b'li hargasha. Okay, then he goes on to say, this is based on what I quoted you, the maskana of the Sudhir Tari says, what does that mean? Every time a woman finds a stain nowadays, d'oraisa? He says, no, there's a different tonight. She has to be sure it's from her body. But if she finds anything on her underwear, that's d'oraisa. Because she knows. Because that's the derech nowadays. To not have a hargasha. Nowadays, the derech is to not have a hargasha.
She doesn't want the color underwear ever?
Correct. Now, again, I don't know how many people followed him on this. You know? I said, this is a very unique shita. Okay. But, you know, I assumed he had real tummy to fuck him, and they would follow this. Okay, Rabbi Willig, Paskin's like this, but he with one knitch. He says, you can't say what is the normal derech to get your period? Once upon a time, with hargasha was normal, without hargasha was abnormal. So with hargasha was daraisa, without hargasha was not daraisa. Says, nowadays, what does it mean to get your period? Interesting question. So, says her, well, like, to get your period doesn't mean to have, like, a little spot. That's not a normal way to get your period. Which is, you know, again, it's very much a matter of interpretation. Very well, like, here happens to be Mechamin to the Men of Olam, so it works out, as I'll mention in a moment. He says, get your period means to have a flow of dam. Not to have, like, a little drop of blood. A little drop of blood is not the normal derech to get your period. No one would say, oh, that's how I get my period, a little drop of blood. No, the normal depth of your period is to have a serious flow of dam. So he says, Rabbi Yashiv doesn't come to this conclusion. It doesn't add this. So, says very willing, no, the normal derech is when you have a flow of dam. If you have a flow of dam, that's d'oraisa. If you have a spot, that's not d'oraisa. That's only a kesem, and if it's on color, it's not tummy at all. So he says, Kanal. Aval. Rak. Shef Adam Choshev Derech Re'iyah. Right? Hey. Eino Choshev Derech Re'iyah. So he says, you know what's Doraisa? When you mamash have a flow of your period, that's Doraisa. That's a real period. If you have one spot of Dam, that's not Doraisa, because that's not the Derech of getting your period. Again, it depends how you. Derech of what? He says, no, it means the derech of a normal period, the derech of a monthly period. A monthly period is a real flow of dam, it's not one drop. He does have one, okay. But anyway, now let us figure out what's the halacha l'maisa based on all these things before we get to the, what's the halacha l'maisa of all these, yes?
So, let's say that she's just spotting, she's not an eater, or she's not an eater raisa?
She's not an eater raisa, and then it depends if it was uncolored or unlight. Because since only a kesem on colored, she wouldn't be a need at all, and on white, she'd be a need to be drabana. You know, assuming you met the other requirements, which we'll get to in some good time. Halach l'maisa. Here's the nafkmina. If she found dam on underwear, is she a need to oraisa? And again, why is this so important? Because if it's colored underwear, then we could just ask, is she a need at all? Because there's no kesem on colored underwear. So what the answer is, according to this, depends if she felt wetness. According to that possible shot in the Yehuda. According to this, Mara Mishek and Sitz Eliezer, depends if she felt symptoms. According to the Tosfos Rid, yes, we know it's for sure for her body, we don't care about her dasha. According to Rabbi Yashiv, yes, it's normal to see without her dasha. According to, now, none of these are the Minigolam. How do I know what the Minigolam is? So, well, actually, it's always hard to know what the Minigolam is, like, who's Oilam? But I've spoken to certainly a lot of Rabbanim from, you know, communities, you know, zero or one or two steps removed from where I live, and they all seem to have the same basic mahalach. What's the basic mahalach? A little dam is not the oraisa, but a big flow of dam is the oraisa. So therefore, a little spot, if it's uncolored, is no problem, but a big flow of dam, that means the oraisa. I only found one rabbi in my entire life who wanted to say to me, none of these answers are true, we don't have need to the oraisa nowadays. Which is very radical. And then he said, but I don't actually pass it that way, because it's too radical. Okay, one person I ever met said that. I don't think anyone you ever heard of. Big Talmud Chacham. But everyone else says, of course there's need to deraisa nowadays. There cannot be need to deraisa. So when is there need to deraisa? If there's a flow of blood, then there's need to deraisa. That is exactly Ray Willing is. I don't mean he invented the Minig Olam. He's trying to figure out a shot that matches what all the poskim always do all the time. What are the poskim? Oh, you have a little stain. Well, look at that. It's ksamim. It's drabanan. And if it's uncolored, it's okay. What, you mamish that your period? Nah, come on. That needs a rice. There's no room to be makel there. It could very well be that would also work for the Aruch HaShulchan. After all, when are we going to say you must have felt it and you don't know what you're feeling? She saw one drop. Who says she felt it and she knows what she doesn't know what she's feeling? Maybe she didn't feel one drop. But if she managed to get her period, we don't have Eidus Chazal that every time there's anything she feels it. We have Eidus Chazal that when women get their period, they feel it. So maybe, according to this derech, you can also justify the minhag olam. Yeah, when do we say you're going to feel it, but you don't notice? Only when you manage to get your period. If you have one tiny drop, we can't say chazaki, you felt it and didn't notice. So therefore, lemaisa, there are two pshat in here that can explain the minhag olam. But the minhag olam from all the poskim that I've seen is that if it's a little drop, we call that ksamim and not nida doraisa. If it's a flow, we call it nida doraisa. Okay, here.
How do we know that Hargasha determines the doraisa status of nida?
Because that's what the Gemara says in Daf Mitzayim.
from Bivsara, Achatariash Bivsara. Which Rabbi Yashua says Bivsara really means, you know, really means Achayavu Kadarka. Just express that's Hargasha in their days. And Tosfos Rit says really means Achatedashahu Bivsara, expressed as Hargasha. But the Gemara says Achatargish Bivsara. Right? What does that mean? Either it means literally Achatargish, according to Rabbi Yashua, and very willing means Achayavu Kaderech Kolbasar. And according to the Tosfos Rit, Achatedashi ba mibsara.
Really different between Rabbi Yashua and the Rabbi Yashua would say anything.
Any tiny spot, you're always needed to rest. That, that is not the minimum.
But he would say because that's the getter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the minute goal. I mean, logically, it's a perfectly logical shita. You know, who am I to say who's right and who's wrong? It's perfectly logical. It's just not what anyone, including in communities where they follow Berlioshiv, does.
Is there a reason to be
Machmer
like any of the other
minions? depends, you know. That's already a philosophical question. Like, you know, Lamaisa. My Masorah is not to be Machmer. However, Rabbi Willing does say that, look, that Tzitz Eliezer has a point. Part of the normal way is how you feel. And therefore, Rabbi Willing will say, well, you know, if she feels her period coming, then even if it's not so big, we should be a little more Machmer, or if she knows, you know, etc. The big chumer of Rabbi Willing, which I think the Olam, the Yeshiva Shmelz, is not Machmer for, is sometimes there's a kind of birth control which can... called Mirena, which can make a woman's period into just like a little drop every month. It's like one of the side effects of that birth control. It makes her period into a little drop every month. So then what would happen? So I think in the Velt they would say, she's never a Nida, so she never Nida. But Willig will say, no. Once you're using Mirena, that's the normal derech, and there's a derech for people using Mirena, and he would be machmer on that. So even though in the Velt, my impression is that they are Mako. Okay, that's what Rabbi Willig says. Rabbi Willig says, look, if you really know it's the normal derech of a period, then you have to be more machmir than just looking at the size. In most of the Velt, they just look at the size to determine if it's the right or it's a kesef.
I heard that earlier. She used to ask, would sometimes ask women if they were surprised when they saw the dam.
I did not, although, you know, you might say that's something, I mean, if you're surprised, that's not the normal derech.
Right.
You know, Rav Moshe hints at that a little, although he doesn't say exactly what he means by it. He says, well, the women usually aren't surprised. So I don't know, I have to look in, you know, check that out more. Okay, halacha lemaisa, the standard minhag olam is, which I can fit into two of these shitas, is that it depends how, whether you have a flow of dam or whether you have a flow of dam or just spotting of dam. Where do you draw the line between spotting and a flow? I've asked many big rabbis. Most of them don't want to say because, like, they didn't read in any book, so they don't want to take a chryas for saying. But I asked them, okay, so don't say. Just, like, tell me what you normally do every day when you have shaylas and need to decide. So the general minhag olam is, you know, sort of like if you have a stain the size of a credit card, then already that's a flow. If you have less than that, okay, some people say maybe draw the line a little more macro than that. You know, but certainly if you just have, you know, even more than what's called a kugris, a quarter or two quarters, that's still a kesem. It might be tummy in some circumstances, there are bummen. But if you really have a flow, that is, or another way of telling is they say, you know, when a woman has a flow, she doesn't want it to leak through in her clothing, so she puts a pad in it to absorb it. A pad is, you know, the more absorbent kind of feminine hygiene product. If you put in a pad, that's a flow. Then obviously you need a lot of absorption. If you don't put in a pad, that's not a flow. That's another, you know, test that's useful. Now, obviously, it doesn't count psychology, but maybe some people are just extra nervous or not nervous enough, but usually. So, usually, it's clear what's a flow and what's just a few drops, which, you know, often can correspond to whatever you just mentioned. Okay, but why is it if there's a flow, we assume that's needed d'oraisa. If there's just drops,
even more than a kigress, we assume it's needed Rabbanan or Mutter, Yaakov. Okay, so much for Hargasha. What I want to come back to, but we'll come back to later, is the second half of this Piskei Tshuva. Are there any cases when she doesn't feel anything, but we treat it as Hargasha anyway? And maybe we'll come back to that a little later in the year, because we have to move on to Siman Kuf Pei Dalet. Ellie, can you take a picture of the board, please? Or do you want someone else to do it? Theoretically, you shouldn't bother with the recording, but...
No, it sounds like the Y Torah app.
So theoretically, you shouldn't bother the Y Torah app, but the question is whether the people who wrote the Y Torah app wrote it the way they theoretically should have. So that I can't tell you. I have this wrong. Okay. But theoretically, if I was writing the Y-Tor app, then it would be clearly not be bothered by taking a picture of it. But I'm not likely to do that anytime soon. Okay, Victor, let's move on to Shir to Simon Kof Pei Dalid, Vestos. So Rov HaNoshim says, opens up the Shulchan Aruch, Rov HaNoshim Yishlam Vestos Liros Bizman Yaduakum Me'eshrim La'eshrim Yom Me'eshloshim La'eshloshim Yom. Most women have a fixed pattern of what day they get their period, like every 20 days or every 30 days, etc. This line is a little tricky. Okay, you're going to tell me what happened to Hilchos Nida all of a sudden. Like, whatever was, forget about the halachos, right? The reality has changed. So the answer is that not so crazy that the reality has changed. You know, I'm not talking about these funny philosophical things that Nassim Slifkin talks about, whether you say Nishtana, Teva, and all kinds of things. Here we're talking about, like, Hilchos Nida, woman's monthly cycle. Avad the Nishtana, Teva. Every century things change about the woman's monthly cycle, because a woman's monthly cycle is not a basic rule of physics or biology. It's very environmentally sensitive. And we all know, they've done experiments nowadays. You change a woman's diet, you change her surroundings, etc., you change her monthly cycle. Like, that's... You know, so it's not surprising if what it says in the Gemara is not true nowadays, just because these things are very environmentally sensitive. They're not like basic rules of science. So once upon a time, most women, he doesn't say all, he just says most, had a fixed pattern that they got their period every X days, a vesis kavua. Nowadays, that is decidedly not true. Nowadays, I would say, and here I'm just, obviously, I'm not going to say numbers because I'd have to make them up, but I would say a miut of women have a vesed kavua. I don't mean it's rare and crazy. Like regular women have vesed kavua, just not most of them, right? A miut hamatzli. You know, a decent minority of women have a vesed kavua, and they're like, yeah, well, ever since I was 12, I got my period every 34 days. Like, you know, why not, right? And they'd be surprised to hear that someone else didn't. Right, so a myriad of women have mamash aveses kavua, pashat. A myriad of women on the other side are not kavua at all. Their period is totally random. They're like, well, my last period, like the time to my periods was like 40 days. Before that was 80. Before that was 17. Before that was 63. You know, that's also a minority. That's not typical. Often, like, that could be a sign of something that's a little off kilter, and these women might have trouble getting pregnant. Not necessarily, but often. Meaning it's like one of these risk factors. Like if you have an irregular period, you know, then it might mean a fertility problem. Most women nowadays are somewhere in the middle. Like we'll see there's a Trubus Edeshin who describes this phenomenon, that they are regular, they have a regular kvios within a range. Like a woman will say, I always get my period. Again, always doesn't mean there wasn't one exception and something weird happened. But I always get my period around 5 weeks after my last period. You know, a few days more, a few days left. I always get my period between 26 and 32 days after my last period. That's what most women are nowadays. So they're not exactly kavua. Some women are exactly kavua, and some women are mamash, not regular at all. Okay, but in the old days, most women were kavua. What's the din of a woman with a ves kavua? V'chol isha sheyesh lo ves kavua, ba'aleh shelo b'shash vesna, ve'eino tzricha b'dika lifnei tashmish. If a woman has a ves kavua, what if she doesn't have a ves kavua? Okay, we'll have to wait to see Simonim to figure out the answer. But if a woman does have a ves kavua, then, we'll see, obviously, that's the next if, she cannot sleep with her husband on the day of the ves kavua. But in all the other days, she's pretty sure she won't get her period.
since she's pretty sure she won't get her period, they can sleep together whenever they want, and she doesn't have to do a bdika before Tashmish. Why doesn't she have to check if she got her period? Because, like, she has a veskavua. Like, why would she get her period davka now? Let's continue in the mechaber. Aval shelo b'shas tashmish kol amar b'livdo reizim shvachas. But not b'shas tashmish. Then the more she checks, the better. Because it's yiras chet. She'll just check in case she got her period. You know, even though she has veskavua, it never hurts. Okay, let's come back to that. What the mechaber's loshon here was pretty machmir. Why? Because first of all, it says she doesn't need bedika before Tashmish. She doesn't need, but sounds like still might be a good idea. And he said she doesn't need bedika before Tashmish, but perhaps she would need bedika after Tashmish. Why does she need bedika after Tashmish? Meaning, like, it's too late. Okay, because the Mishnah says it needed in the first perek that a woman has to do bedika every morning and every night, and at the time of Tashmish. And then it later says she has to do bedika before Tashmish, or pretty much says, and after Tashmish. Why does she have to do bedika before Tashmish? Perhaps, like, just pashup shot to check if she's a nida, so she won't engage in Tashmish when she's a nida, which would be an aveira. Why does she have to do bedika after Tashmish? To check if the Tashmish caused bleeding, because there'll be a whole simon about a very rare syndrome, perhaps, that Ro'amach was Tashmish. Perhaps the hormones of Tashmish can cause her to menstruate. I don't mean to have a full period, but to lead a Tivas Dam Kachardo, and that would be very problematic, as you can imagine. Okay, so, yeah?
Okay, just like as far as, like, the Hashgav HaSator, like, Hashem wants us to be always checking it, like, all the time, or is it like, no, when you see something, then you can, then you say something.
Aha! So that seems to be Machlokas Rishonim. It seems to be, you know, it's always hard to tell, of course. Is Machlokas Rishonim about the Hashkafas HaTorah or just about the details of the application of Hashkafas HaTorah? But look, you know what I know, that when it comes to Hashkafas HaTorah, there's an interviewer state and to always check and double check and be extra certain that you don't do a veiro. So we have many zeros that remind us to, you know. On the other hand, you have to be normal. So how do you balance being normal versus checking? Is the machlokas rishonim here? You should know, ad hayom hazeh, no one holds like this Rambam. That says Rambam, parentheses mine. But the Teimanim do. The Teimanim still check before and after Tashmish. If they don't miss this kavua, then for sure, right? Now, the Rambam doesn't say you have to do a full bedika. We'll learn. Okay, those of us who haven't taken chassam classes.
Maybe I'm telling you information.
It doesn't have to be a full bedika, like it has like Tara bedika, Shivanakiyim, and Vestos, etc. It's just a wipe. Okay, but the Teimanim still do it. I checked them.
Machlokas. It's only during those 10 days. Or
whatever it is. No, here it's even a Vestos Kavua.
No, what I'm saying, in this Zman Yadua, it's not always.
It's always. Okay, give me a second. Let me put this on the board. This Machaber is about Yesh Lo Beshes Kavua and Bia Shelo Beshes Vesta, which is always except the day of Reveses when they shouldn't be sleeping together anyway, right? So what about Yesh Lo Beshes Kavua? And you have Tashmish, obviously, Shalo Bishas Vesta. No one would be so foolish and irreligious as to be Mishamish at the time of Veses. What about Tashmish in a totally innocent time? So, the Gemara says two things. The Gemara says A, and here is very fascinating in terms of how much we have to check all the time. The Mishnah says you have to check all the time. Says the Gemara, no, that's only for a woman who deals with taros. She has to be checking all the time to make sure that she's not matame the taros. But if you don't have taros, like nowadays, right? You don't have tum of a tara nowadays, or even the old days, the Bava lady in the tum of a tara, right? Or people in far villages where they, you know, whatever.
then she doesn't have to check. Not even for Tashmish. It sounds like when you're checking for Taros every morning, every night anyway, you also have to check for Tashmish. Somehow, when it comes to Tumah Vatara, there's more of an inyan to always be checking. And that's the more chomer. Tumah Vatara is not more chomer than Nida, than Isser Nida's Bakaris. Somehow, when it comes to Shmiras Taros, there's an inyan to like always be double checking everything that touches your Taros, including yourself. But nowadays you don't have to check. And then the Gemara says, oh, well, let's just check, it can't hurt. The Gemara says, no, it hurts to check. Why does it hurt to check? Shemi libo nokfo. Because maybe the husband will get nervous. And if the husband gets nervous, he won't want to sleep with his wife. He'll see her checking and he'll say, ooh, sounds looks suspicious to me, I'm too nervous. And he won't want to sleep with her. And it's a little funny, she'll just say, I do it all the time because that's my shita. But nonetheless, you know, we're afraid of making him nervous and we don't want to prevent the conjugal relations. So, if you look at the Ramah, what does the Ramah say? The lashon of the Mechaber is ambiguous. She doesn't need to check before Tashmish. She doesn't need to. But should she? How about after Tashmish? Right? The Mechaber is not so clear. I think he's being purposefully ambiguous here. He doesn't necessarily want to commit himself as to exactly what the rule is. So the Ramah comes and says, Gam ein l'lachmer livdo gatzmo, lifnei tashmo l'achar tashmish, lo yibo nofo porsh. Not only does she have to, she shouldn't be machmer. She's not allowed to check either before or after tashmish, because she'll make the husband nervous. If she checks before tashmish, the husband will say, you're checking. You must be about to get your period. And he'll be nervous. If she checks after tashmish, she'll say, maybe you felt the blood coming during tashmish. You must have had argusha during tashmish, and next time you won't want to sleep with her. And then that'll wreck their marriage. And therefore, Chazal said she shouldn't check at all. Okay, apparently in the days of Taros, it wouldn't have made the husband nervous. Because he would have said, you're checking all the time anyway. But nowadays, when there's no Taros, we paskin like Thrama. We paskin shlo yidu nokfo. When should she check? When is it nice to check? Meshubach? Not when it's not near Tashmish at all. That is Meshubach wonderful. If she wants at lunchtime, randomly check, that's wonderful, Meshubach. But in Tashmish, no. And that's Pashim Shad in the Gemara, because the Gemara says two things. A, when we don't have Taros, B'zmanazeh. They didn't say B'zmanazeh. They said a woman who doesn't deal with Taros. There's no Chiyuv. And B, not only is there no Chiyuv, there's a prohibition, an Isser, or at least a, advice not to. Because of Libo Nokfo Uporish. That's Rov Rishonim and the Ramah. So let's just see what is the din of Lifne, Bidika Lifne, and Bidika La'achar Tashmish. So most Rishonim, which becomes the Psak of the Ramah, say, she shouldn't, right? Ain't lo davduk. She shouldn't. And ain't lo davduk. She shouldn't. Right? That's Pashup Shat, and this is how we paskin. This is how we paskin. Why? Because of the Gemara that says when there's no Taurus, you don't have to check, and then it says you shouldn't check. The Rambam has a funny pshat. Says the Rambam, he says after your chayiv livdok, and even beforehand, he says the tznuos du bedika. Again, tznuos in shas, keep in mind, does not have as restricted meanings nowadays. Nowadays, tznuos just means how much clothing you wear. But tznuos in shas, or maybe you could say tznuos means like how modest you are. Tznuos in shas is a much bigger, much broader word. It's used for Yerushalayim in general. Tznuos, again, it's not a matter of modesty, it's a matter of Yerushalayim. But they call tznuos, many places of Yerushalayim, or really Yerushalayim, is called tznuos. The tznuos, the Rambam says, check before Tashmish also. You don't have to. Ein chiyuv, aval hatznuos bokos. That's what he says. In tzorek, you don't have to. And the mechaber leaves himself open to this possibility, right? The mechaber sort of hints at this possibility. I would say it's hinted at in the mechaber, right? He doesn't say it explicitly, but he certainly hints at it in the mechaber.
Before
it's tznuos and after it's a chiyuv. What does the Rambam do with the fact that if we don't have Taurus, you have a Ptur? right? What did the Rambam do with the Gemara that says, Ein Chiyuv Kishe'ena Osekes Betaros? Not only that, there's another Gemara that says, that, says the Gemara, she shouldn't do a bedika. Shema yehe libo nokvo uparish, because the husband might refrain. So for the Raman, Rov Rishonim, and you understand why Rov Rishonim said this, because that's Pashur Shad in the Gemara, right? He just says, this works perfect. Yeah, of course. You shouldn't do it, and now you shouldn't you do it. You don't have to do it, now you have to do it, you shouldn't do it. What is the Raman going to say? So I'm going to say, this is talking about the Chiyov, Mayri Bechiyov Lifnei Tashmish. No, it just means the Chiyov before Tashmish is only when you're dealing with Taurus. If you're not dealing with Taurus, no Chiyov before Tashmish, even though it's proper. Yeah, the Tznuos would do it, right? The Mahadrim would do it. Right? I guess that's what we say nowadays. The Mahadrim would do it nowadays. Oh, but what if the Gemara says you Davka shouldn't because of Libo Nokfok? That's very difficult for the Rambam. The Rambam itself, like, the Gemara has some case where it says, you bedavka are not allowed to do it to not make your husband nervous. It's not afterwards, the Yerushalayim, it's not beforehand, it's recommended for Mahadran. So what case of the Gemara say you shouldn't? The Rambam didn't answer all of the Rishonim. The Rishonim on the side of the Rambam, and the Rishonim on Shas, the Ramban and others in the Gemara, all give an answer, which, you know, I don't have a better answer, is that, say the Mefarshim, when Ma'iri Rak, Bivdika, Miyad la'achar Tashmish. Maybe they were only referring to Bedika right after Tashmish. Right after, because we'll see, the Gemara has the, oh, no one learns Daf Yomi? No one learns Daf Yomi here? Yesterday's Daf, today's Daf? Okay, save it. I'm not saying you have to learn Daf Yomi. But if you would have learned Daf Yomi, you would have had this Brisa on both yesterday's Daf and today's Daf. You would have had it three times. Actually, Mishnah. You would have it three times. Because they have three different formulations of Rav, and each of them, they ask the same question, you get the same answer. It says, if she checks Osyom, if she checks herself right after Tashmish, and finds blood, then Chayva Karbon, because the blood was definitely there during Tashmish. If she checks herself very soon after Tashmish, 2 seconds after Tashmish, and she finds blood, they're Chayva Ashim Tolui, because we're assuming the blood was there during Tashmish. If she checks herself 30 seconds after Tashmish, then they're not chayv anything. We assume the blood came well after Tashmish. And they're nidchay to say, maybe what she shouldn't do to not make her husband nervous is check a second after Tashmish.
Yeah, who cares if he's nervous after Tashmish?
Because then next time you won't want to be Shamish with her. He'll say, last time you checked right afterwards, well, you for sure got your period during Tashmish and you're covering something up here. Or you mistakenly didn't know, they came to the wrong conclusion afterwards because you were biased. So okay, that's a little dochter. That's the same for the Rambam. The Beis Yosef does quote another sheet of Rebbe Simcha, although there's two different Yersos and the two different versions of Gos Maimonios, the ones published in Constantinople, and the other ones, which in the Frankel they have both versions. That's exactly what he said, but more or less the same thing everywhere. What does Rebbe Simcha say? Rebbe Simcha is one of the Shonei Ashkenaz. He's quoted in the Gos Maimonios. He says something a little the opposite of the Rambam. What does Rebbe Simcha say? He says, afterwards, she for sure shouldn't check. She dafka shouldn't check afterwards. Because if she checks afterwards, the husband is going to be very nervous. Why are you checking afterwards? You felt your period during Tashmish? Next time he's going to say, what do you mean, last time she felt her period during Tashmish makes me nervous. But beforehand, what's wrong with checking? Why would he be nervous? She checked herself and it's clean. What's there for him to be nervous about? I mean, the other shouldn't say, he'd be nervous that she feels her period about to get to come. But says Rebbe Simcha, here it is, here there are two versions. Either it's mutter or mitzvah. Mitzvah not meaning chiyuv, right? There's only subtle difference in two versions. It's not a chiyuv gomer. It's either mutter or like a mitzvah for the Mahadran, right? Two different versions of the Gos Maimonios. And what would he say? He would say very pasha. The Gemara is nicha. There's no chiyuv at all. Nowadays, when they're not dealing with Taurus, there's no chiv at all, not before, not after. The only difference is, before it's still a nice thing to do, afterwards it's usher to do, and this is only Mayri. Achar Tashmish. Okay, so that he has, does not have to be nidchat to be explained in the Gemara. These are the three shitas. How do we paskin again? We clearly paskin like the Ramah, and a woman, we paskin make a living for Engla Veskavua. But a woman with the Veskavua never has to do any bedikas before or after Tashmish, not only never has to, but Dafka shouldn't. You know? At least not, you know, for husband's lucky. You know, I don't know if it's 10 minutes before Tashmish or her husband's not there, then it's not going to make him nervous, but be karam, she shouldn't. Okay, however, paskins the Shulchan Aruch, shelo b'shas Tashmish, the more bedikas, the better. Okay, even this is not so poshut nowadays. So far, because I don't mean that we paskin differently for not having a score, I just mean we're not up to that yet. How about shelo b'shas Tashmish? Kol marbe reizin shavach, the more the better. So here, many sperm nowadays still quote the more the better shelo b'shas Tashmish, because it can make girls are nervous, not b'shas Tashmish, so what could possibly be the problem? Meaning, it seems very logical. You don't have to, but, like, it's always a good thing, because b'manashach, if you check and you're clean, wonderful, so you feel better. If you check and you find blood, it's a good thing. You didn't want to do an avir b'shogeg, and it's not going to make anyone nervous, because not b'shas Tashmish. So what could possibly be the downside? So that is what some sperm say. L'maisa arminach is, I heard this from Rabbi Willig and others, that, and Rav Moshe writes this in, I think it's in one of the later volumes of the Igros Moshe. You ever seen Rabbi Anger's book on Hilchos Nida, like the English Hilchos Nida? Okay, it's on the shelf. In the back, he has, I mean, he had this on all his books, like just like, he asked Rav Moshe like 100 questions, got very short answers, and they typed them up and put them in the back, and then later they published them all in the Igros Moshe. The Shabbos ones are quoted often from the Igros Moshe, not from his book. These only made it to the very later ones, the Igros Moshe, that are not as popular. But even though a friend of mine did a computer analysis on the later volumes of the Igros Moshe and proved mathematically that they were really written by Rav Moshe, which, you know, is a big hack in the Yeshiva Shabbat. But anyway, Lamaisa, Rav Moshe also writes that nowadays, he's not even convinced that Kol Marbe is a Meshavach. My Masorah from Rabbi Willig is that nowadays Kol Marbe is not Meshavach. Nowadays, if you're Chayv to B'dika, you're Chayv to B'dika. Nothing to talk about. But you shouldn't be Marbe B'dikos, you shouldn't do optional B'dikos nowadays. Why not? It's against the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch has logic on his side. Meaning, if you're afraid you'll find Dam, then you should want to find the Dam, because you don't want to do another Meshavach. If it's going to be clean, it makes you happy and relax. And if you're going to find blood, then it saves you from Avera. What could possibly be the reason not to say Hamara reason showed up nowadays? So the problem is there's two reasons nowadays. Number one reason nowadays is that sometimes, again, I have no idea the difference between those days and nowadays, etc., but it's common nowadays that people are more sensitive. Their skin is more sensitive. That's also definitely environmentally sensitive, right? How sensitive your skin is will depend on a lot of environmental factors. Could easily be mishtane. And therefore, if a woman does a lot of bedikos, she could end up scratching herself and finding blood from scratching herself. And then she'll have a whole shayla, and then either she'll be machmer and make herself an eater for no reason, or she'll be makel, but you have to go with a whole shayla of kulas, etc., that you didn't have to get into. You know, so therefore, if you're, nowadays, people are sensitive and they can scratch themselves more easily, so better to avoid doing bedikos if you're just going to get into unclarity instead of clarity. Or B, Rav Moshe points out, now every generation that goes, we get more and more confused about what color is really usher and what color is really mutter. We mentioned that in terms of the difference in the days of the Tanarim and the days of the Amorim. The kol shit came by the time it gets to us. You know, how confused we are. And says, Moshe, you know what, there's so many colors that we're confused about and we don't know what to do and we'll end up being machmir, but really we didn't have to be machmir. It's just like a chumra. Or we'll end up being mako and we'll be nervous about being mako. He says, once upon a time, they had more confidence about looking at the colors. So great, do bedikos and we'll get clarity. Nowadays, the more bedikos you do, the more likely you're going to get lack of clarity. What? You'll come up with a questionable color in your bedika. And then mimanashach, either way it'll be bad. Either we'll say, okay, we'll kvetch out a kula. So why get into a situation where you have to kvetch out a kula? Or we'll say, we'll be machmer even though we think it really might be okay. So we machmer for no reason. So therefore, if we're just going to get into lack of clarity instead of clarity, therefore it's not so mashuk no more bedikos. And therefore, the ma'isa that dracha nowadays is that you should not do unnecessary bedikos, even though Shulchan Aruch says Meshubach, because nowadays you'll just get less clarity instead of more, because you'll have confusing colors, and because you might have a scratch.
Okay, is this true across the Jewish spectrum, or is it like the more
this
Jewish
is,
community or Sephardic community?
I don't know. This is what I heard from Rabbi Willig and from other Rabbanim. This is what I read in Rav Moshe. That's obviously not the entire community. I can't tell you what everyone does in terms of this. It's a good question. I can't tell you what everyone does. So it's already good. But I can tell you what you should do. Meaning your, you know, you and your students. Okay, Viter. Sif Beis. We're ready for Sif Beis. Okay, there's a whole deal in the Shach here in the first Pesachi Tshuva, but we will leave that for now. I have a different Shach in the Pesachi Tshuva, but we're not ready to appreciate it yet.
When we say doing medikas the whole time, is that only around when a woman would get it?
No, the Shulchan Aruch says all the time. You never know. Because you never know. It's always good to be extra zahir. You never know. No, obviously, if the Shulchan Aruch was, what would a real woman do? She would use her judgment, right? Kolomar is a mishurah. That doesn't mean every 5 minutes. It means kolomar, using your common sense. So obviously, the woman would use her common sense, and then she would take into account what you said. But halachically, it's always good to be extra zahir. And I would admit that if we were confident that we would get clarity. You know, if your mamish could get a clear answer, then it's always good to be zahir. Again, what does always good mean? It means use your common sense. Okay, base. Here is the main point of this simon. Starts in base. B'shas vesta tzorech lifrosh mimena ona achas. When the day of the period comes, and here we're talking about one of the vestas kavua, although we'll see this true even if she doesn't have a vestas kavua, when the day of the period comes, the husband and wife have to refrain from tashmish for one ona. What is an ona? An ona is a day or a night. How do we know that? Well, let's read on. V'lo mishar kriyas only tashmish levad. So you don't have to keep all the harchakos, right? Those of us who are married know that when the wife is a nida, you have to keep many, many, you have to refrain from many things besides tashmish, right? You can't even hand her a book when she's a nida. Right? There's a lot of things you can't do. No, you don't have to refrain from all those things, just from tashmish mamish. Okay, why do you only have to refrain from tashmish mamish? Here it's very fascinating. It could be the simple shot, the big machlokes are showing, is because, well, only tashmish is a thing of era. The other things are just zeros. Right? Or it could be because maybe it's not that we think she already got her period. It's that we think that tashmish will bring about the period because the hormones of tashmish makes it more likely for the period to come. That, yeah, you saw that Svara mentioned in the third Pesach Tshuva here. So for the name of the Ra'ah. So in any case, we only refrain from Tashmish. We don't have to refrain from other things. We'll come back to that. Im bayom porch mena oso hayom. Kulo, afilu vesa sofo. What does an ona mean? It means a daytime or a nighttime. If it's a daytime vesa, she's expecting period during the day. You have to be porch the whole day. And we'll see that that means from sunrise to sunset. Not from aloso shachar to tzitzit. You have to approach me the whole day, even if the best is at the end, or if the best is at the beginning. I mean, it doesn't matter when in the day, we just have a day. You know, why? Like, why do we approach the same? What if her vestas is 6 in the morning or 6 in the evening? Why is it the same? And that's a flower goes or a day or a night. They didn't want to start having you cut minutes in half. Once we have a last awkward, and then once the night comes, it's okay. It also could be because they understood that a woman's cycle is affected by light, which it certainly is. Right, we know that all these reproductive cycles are affected by light and darkness. Right, they do it with chickens all the time. Right, how do they get the hens to lay more eggs? You can decide on your own whether it's good or bad. It's not like it's easy. How do you get the hens to lay more eggs? Oh, you just like put them in a closed room, and you cycle the light and darkness every 23 hours instead of 24 hours, and then their body works overclocks. Is that the right word? No computer geeks here. Okay, their body works a little faster because they're affected by, their hormones are affected by the light. Okay, so it could be that's why. Your hormones are affected by the light. Therefore, Chazal said, if it's a daytime the whole day, it's a nighttime the whole night. at least before we get to the Aviyasaf. So it doesn't matter how close it is to the period. She's expecting her period, let's say, this time of the year. At 7 p.m. tonight? Or... she's expecting her period at 6:45 p.m. tonight, be on the safe side. She's purged the whole day, even if it's 11 hours before she's expecting her period, and she's mutter at night, even if it's 20 minutes after she expected it. Right? If it didn't come during the day, it's mutter at night. And likewise, if she's expecting her period at, I don't know when the service was this morning, but let's say 6:30 a.m. this morning,
Then she's usher the whole day, even 11 hours later, but she's muteris the whole previous night, even at just an hour before. Okay, it depends on the day and the night, not how many minutes away it is. Chena didn't have a laila, porish called a laila, motu bim shalachro, shalafana vila achro, benching of vesh shalosh vam pamachas. Here he says, whether it's a vesh kavua, which defined as three times, or whether it's something that only happened once, what we call a vesh shein or kavua, the same rule applies. Okay, let's leave the Rama for now. There's a few things. Let's first take care of one detail. How about the shar kravos? What's with this shar kravos? So we know during the Veses you don't have to keep all the harchakos, right? Harchak is the opposite of a kreva. Yeah, you don't have to keep all the harchakos. You can eat together, and you can sleep on her bed, and you can hand things to her, etc. You can touch, etc. Is there any limit? So here we have a big machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch says, O'elo mi tashmish v'lvad. That's pretty clear. Tashmish v'lvad means tashmish v'lvad. You can do anything but tashmish. However, some of the Achronim said, well, let's use our psychological insight. After all, not every chumrah that we have is necessarily going to cause them to jump into bed right away. But there are some things that are a little closer than others. That's called chibuk v'nishuk. So as we understand, we all, with our common sense, that chibuk v'nishuk is a little more likely to lead to tashmish than handing her a book. Says the Shach, the Shulchan Aruch Mashma Fil Chibuk V'Nishuk Shari. Unlike the Trumas Hadeshen, who asked Chibuk V'Nishuk. And the Rambam Paskins is Mutter, and the Bach is Mutter, but the Bach ends Hamachmer Tovo Lo Bracha. Hamachmer Tovo Lo Bracha. He says, you know what? It's better to refrain from Chibuk V'Nishuk. It's not usher mamish, but it's proper. You know, Ben Torah would refrain from Kibbutz V'Nishuk. Generally, the post consume machmer tovah lo bracha doesn't mean like if you want to, it's an interesting possibility to consider someday. Generally, post consume machmer tovah lo bracha means that's the right thing for a Ben Torah to do. You can't say you have to do this, but it's the right way for a Ben Torah to act. Okay, so that's the shach. What does the Taz say? The Taz says even further. Li nerish asur min adin. Taz says he thinks it's mamish asur, not bachadol bracha. It's mamish asur. He brings a raya from the Ramah, not the Mechaber to Ramah. Hilchos Avelos so asur chibuk v'nishuk. Okay, and in the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Radvaz, who says ein mechadish chumras al Yisrael. Don't give me new chumras. Says halavai people keep the laws we already have. We don't have to invent new chumras every day. So he doesn't want to be machmer at all. So how about Chibuk V'Nishuk? So on the one hand, we have the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Radvaz, who say Mutter. On the other hand, we have the Taz, based on the Trumas Hadesh. I mean, that's not chronological order, right? The Trumas Hadesh was a late Rishon. Taz is an early Achron. Who says Asur. And in the middle, we have the Bach and the Shach, the general assumption. When the Shach quotes something last, he's sort of endorsing it. It's not as much as he says, I'm sure that it's true, but the general assumption that he's endorsing it, who say, Hamachmir Tavo Allah Bracha. Okay, Halacha L'maisa, what does, Halacha L'maisa, what do we do with this? We have a range of shitos. Okay, Rabbi Willig said, he thinks that we paskin mutter, and that you don't have to be machmir on this, but nonetheless, I think it's obvious that one should use his common sense. Someone has to use their common sense if it's going to be lead to a problem, then one should use their common sense. But Lemaisa, Reb Willig is making on this and says we can paskin like the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Radvaz, and be matter. But nonetheless, I think that. You know, I don't know if anyone passed like, I'm sure someone. Most people pass them like the Shach. And it's Machmer Tov, and the Bach Machmer Tov of Bracha. So I think one should certainly use his common sense to make sure that you don't get into the wrong situation. Now let's talk about Sarath Lifrosh Mena Ona Achas, which is, well, Okay, yeah, let's what should we talk about first? Let's go back for a moment. Is this din d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? L'chor, we're talking about a vesis kavua. If a woman doesn't have a vesis kavua, let's say once she saw on day 31. Next month on day 31, that's for sure not d'oraisa. You know, it's not a chazak or anything. But let's say she's vesis kavua three times in a row, right? Halachically, doesn't matter if it was three times or 30 times or 300 times. Three times in a row she saw on day 33. So, is that d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? So the Gemara has a machlokes, whether vestos d'oraisa or vestos d'rabbanan. Right? So, here is in the Gemara. Has a man d'omar vestos d'oraisa and a man d'omar vestos d'rabbanan. What is the nafgamina of this machlokes in the Gemara? Anyone know? If her veses passed and she didn't check herself, do we assume she's tmeya or do we assume she is tahora? Right? So here, what does this mean? It means, im avar haveses velo bodka, she is tmeya. And this means, im avar haveses velo bodka, she is tahora. Okay, it could mean that she still has to do another bedika at some point, but she's Torah. Now, what's the logic for manda revestos d'oraisa? Anyone give me a pasuk in the Torah where you would think vestos d'oraisa, that if she checked, if she didn't get her period, she checked. But if we don't know, we assume she got her period. Not for what I just wrote on the board. That's about being Purish, not about what happens afterwards. Anyone, somewhere in the Chumash, where if something happens three times, is there any mucker in the Chumash that we assume that it'll happen again until proven otherwise? Sound familiar to anyone? Yeah, anyone go to like fourth grade? That's not in the Torah. That's based on the Torah. It's not a pasuk. Yeah, Sharmalet. Sharmalet. If it happens three times, that's a chazaka d'oraisa. So, three times a chazaka d'oraisa, that's the makar.
Yeah, but it doesn't say what you do with it.
What?
It doesn't say what you do with it.
I understand.
Certainly three times a chazaka, but so what?
Okay, but nonetheless, that's what the Gemara says. The Madar Vestoraisa learns from Sharmuad, just like Sharmuad, after three times you assume it's a pattern. Likewise, Madar Vestoraisa, after three times you assume it's a pattern. What do you do when you assume it's a pattern? Oh, well, when you assume it's a pattern, that means it's going to happen next month on that day. And therefore, if you checked, you checked. After all, Vados beats a chazaka. If you didn't check, you go by the chazaka. It's actually very reasonable, right? If she always gets her period on day 33, then she should get her period on day 33. Like, that's the idea of chazaka. What's the svar of the other mandomer? What's the svar of the other? The other mandomer says, no, you know what? Past day 33, she didn't check. We assume she's still tahora. Why do we assume she's still tahora? After all, Shormud and good scientific thinking, right, would tell us that she's tmeya. Exactly. And that's what most achronim say, such as, what's the svara? Says the Noda Bihuda and the Sidri Tara. And most achronim, cheskas tara. Meaning, unlike the Shormud, here you have two conflicting chazakas. Let's say the woman is now getting to day 33. On the one hand, chezkas sholosh pa'amim, that she'll get her period today. She got 33 days ago, and 33 days before that, and 33 days before that. On the other hand, she's bechezkas tara. She's tahora now. She remains tahora until proven otherwise. So you have two conflicting chazakas. The chezkas tara says she'll stay tahora until proven otherwise. The chezkas gimel pa'amim says she'll get her period on the 33rd day unless you prove otherwise. So what do you do if you have two conflicting chazakas? They cancel each other out, and she's tahora. Or even the Cheskes Tara beats the Cheskes Gimel Pa'amin. Let's say it that way. So they say the Cheskes Tara beats Cheskes Gimel Pa'amin. Okay. That's quite possible. Right? If I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know what the din would be, right? If I stole money from you once and stole money from you twice, stole money from you the third time, then you sue me, said I stole the fourth time, the one hand maybe I did the other. Don't say I'm all right. Cheskes Pa'amin. I'm holding on to my money. I would win. Okay. That's one shot. That's the mainstream shot. The Chavos Das not here, like as a tangent in the end of the cynical beginning, as a tangent to discussing Sheet of the Rambam, says the Chavos Das in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel. He says, the Veses is a Chazoka Ha'asuya Lehishtanos. There's a phrase you find in the post, Chazoka Lehishtanos. Not usually about this, but if it's a Chazoka, but you know that it's bound to change soon, then it doesn't count as a good chazaka. He says every vesa chazaka sui l'shtanos. After all, when a woman gets older, her vesa changes. Therefore, it's not such a good chazaka, so it's not a good chazaka. The shore could remain wild forever, till it dies. But the woman, we all know her vesa is going to change someday. So he says that either the vesa is overridden by chazkas tara, or the vesa is a chazaka sui l'shtanos and not considered a proper chazaka. Okay, one of those svaras is the modern vesa d'rabbanan. How do we paskin? We paskin Ma'amar Vessos Darabonim, clear psak in the Gemara. Vessos Darabonim. We'll see the funny sheet of the Urayim, but we're not even taking it into account now. Okay, we paskin Vessos Darabonim. What does that mean? Then, however, you get into the discussion of the Shachs of Katan Hay and the Pesachichuvas of Katan Gimel. Al Agav. There is some great Piskechuva. Piskechuva Bees, I think, is obvious, but I'll mention it anyway. He says, you have to refrain from Tashmish during the Veses. And if they were Mishamish during the Veses, even if she didn't get her period, they need to do Tshuva and get Kapar because it's an Aveira. And it's not just a nice idea, it's Mamshin Aveira. Maybe Darabana, but Mamshin Aveira to engage in relations during the time of the Veses. Okay, is that Aveira? A drabbanan aveira or daraisa aveira? What would you conclude from the Gemara? It's a drabbanan aveira because vessels are only drabbanan. That is the conclusion of the Shach and Rov poskim. Says the Shach, Tzorich Lifrosh, Hainami drabbanan, Kenos Gomes Rova poskim, Achronan, the vessels drabbanan. What does this mean? What this means is, says the Shach and Rov poskim, Tzorich Lifrosh, Midrabanan. After all, it's only Midrabanan Vesto, so you only Tzorich Lifrosh Midrabanan. Okay, there's a whole fancy Rukhaim about this, which we won't mention now, but the famous sheet of the Noda Yehuda, which is according to the Piskei Tshuva, Sivkatan Gimel, and the Chassam Sofer agrees with him, and a minority of, but a Chashav minority, Noda Yehuda, and the Chassam Sofer, they say no. Tzorich Lifrosh Mida Oraisa. Okay, there are Diyukim and Rashi to support this. What's their Svara? First, Bidi Eved Vesos Drabanan. We don't assume she got her period Bidi Eved, if the Vesed passed. But Lechatchila, she still has to be Porish Midoraisa. And that's the chiluk here. Meaning, what's the chiluk? The chiluk here is, for these poskin, bid the Eved. Ein Omrim. She. Sheba. Let's call it Orach Bismano. Right? The Orach Kadashim. We don't say it came b'di'evet. But l'chathchila r'chom shishin ma'ikam. But l'chathchila choshishin mid'oraisa sheyavo Orach Bismano. Okay, why would they think that? Now, Isaac, why would they think that even though Vesos Drabanan, that means b'di'evet, we don't assume she got her Veset. But lechatchila de oraisa, you have to be porish. Why do they think you have to be porish with oraisa? Didn't you answer this before? Because the Gemara darshes a pasuk. Vizartem es bnei Yisrael mitumasam, right? What is vizartem es bnei Yisrael mitumasam? Right? It doesn't mean vizartem. It means vizartem. Anyone, what does vizartem mean? Anyone know Hebrew? Biblical Hebrew. I'm not asking you to know modern Hebrew. What is vizartem es bnei Yisrael mitumasam? No, that would be the his hartem, right? Which everyone thinks it is, but not for any logical reason. It means from the Lashon Nazir, to separate, right? Nozoru Achor, right? So it means separate B'nai Yisrael from Tuma. Okay, what does it mean to separate them from Tuma? What do you mean? Like, either you're Tuma or not. What does it mean to separate from Tuma? So Rashi quotes there on the Pasuk, and the Gemara says, it means a man should not sleep with his wife, or husband and wife should not sleep together during the time of the Veses. That's to be separated from, not just to know if you're Tuma or Tar, to be separated from Tuma. I mean, it would have worked if it had said Viz Harten. That's why everyone's confused, but that's just not what it says. So that's Doraisa. Okay. What is the Shach going to say? What is the Beis Yosef quote from the Ron and the Rashi and a bunch of Rishonim? Asmach Yama. That's basically the question. The question is, this drasha of Vihizartem Fechule is an Asmach Yama, which is what the Beis Yosef quotes from lots of Rishonim, which is why the Shach comes to the conclusion. It's just Asmach Yama. Or is it? No, it's a real drasha. So the no to be Yehuda, Nafsam Sofer thing, it's a real drasha. Even though the Paskin Vestos and Rabbanan, that just means Bidi Eved. And Bidi Eved, like she's not to me at all. She'll just check at some point and be okay. But, just check someday and be okay. But, and Mid Rabbanan, check someday and be okay. But, L'chachila Dizn Isidoraisa Vizarta. However, the Shach and most post can say, no, even the chachil, it's only drabbanan avizarta. That's an asmachta. That's an asmachta b'yalma. That's not a real drushin. It's clear that I'm sure, but that's not a real drushin gemurah. The Yod Yehuda says, but how could it be that midaraisa? You have to worry the chachil is going to come, but you don't have to worry that the other came. Either you should assume it's true or not. It says no, we have a precedent in Maseches Gittin again. Look at this. Everything comes back to Maseches Gittin this year. That Shema. Mace lo chayshina, shema yomas chayshina. And the Gemara in Gittin says explicitly that, I mean, just to confuse with an example, if an Ashes Kohen, her husband went off and he might have died, she can still be truma. She doesn't have to worry that he died. She doesn't have to worry that he already died. But if he gave her a get, says, you're divorced retroactively a day before I die, she can't be truma. She has to worry he might die. Why? That's the way that these things work. If she has cheskes tara, this woman had cheskes Ashes ish, you don't have to worry that it was already broken, but you do have to worry that it might get broken. And likewise here, and the notary just assumes that's Doraisa, you don't have to worry that she got her period b'dievet, but l'chachila you have to worry she might get her period. So why can't she sleep with her husband? Not because she thinks she might have gotten her period a second ago. No, we're not close to she got her period, because she thinks she might get her period during Tashmish. And therefore she has to separate from her husband, midoraisa.
Is there a distinction between level of prisha during Shat Veset versus the Ona in general?
Good question. So, the Nod Vihuda seems to be clear that the whole Ona is the Raisa, which is a big fish. I would have said only the Shah Mams, and the Chassam Sofer quotes in their Ah, that the Shah and onwards is the Raisa, but before him is the Rabbanan. You could easily have said the Shah is the Raisa, and the Ona is the Rabbanan. The Nod Vihuda doesn't, but there are definitions like that, I just don't remember.
But wait, those are passing the Rabbanan.
Those passing the Rabbanan say the Rabbanan the God, right?
Every even Shabbat.
Yes.
And if you say it's Rashi Gemurah, then this is just like a Siyak Doraisa for the
Nimrod. Yes. Yes. Okay. Halach Lemaisa, what's the Nafkamina? Whether it's Doraisa or Rabbanan to be porridge during the Shasa Veses. So in the Mizri Chuba Dalit, he says that the Nafkamina might be. And how do we paskin? Lemaisa, most posts are like the Shach. But Maisa, most poskim are like the Shach. However, when it comes to the Nafkaminas, not so Pashut. Because what's one of the Nafkaminas he brings up, possibly in Sivkat Dalit? What if a woman's mikvanite falls out on a veset? Okay, that happens sometimes, randomly. In weird situation. Obviously not a normal situation, but in weird situations it can happen. And there's even one crazy case here of a woman who got her period twice a month, and therefore her mikvanite was always falling out on her veset. What if the mikvanite falls out on the veset? On the one hand, it's a big mitzvah for the husband and wife to sleep together in the mikvanite. On the other hand, it's the veset. So you want to say, if it's an Isra Doraisa, then it's an Isra Doraisa. You can never do an Isra Doraisa. If there's Rabbanan, maybe there weren't goals there in a case like this where it's a mitzvah and it's necessary, etc., etc. He wants to say maybe that's enough Nafkamina. Halacha lemaisa.
Halach Lamaisa, it would be very hard to be makel on this. Even if it's Rabbanan, who says you can make along this Rabbanan so easily? Okay, that has to do with something we'll see later. Halach Lamaisa, very not pasha to be makel in such a case. It would be hard to be makel in such a case. Okay, now, there are two more things I wanted to discuss. What are the two more things I want to discuss? The Shita called the Orzavrua and the Shita called the Avi Asaf. What do we call the Avi Asaf, by the way? Where did everyone learn here? And Gush, you've heard of this. And Hakotl, you also heard of this. Shalvim also. What do we call the Avi Asaf? You have to actually take the book off the shelf and see that on the title page says, called the Avi Asaf. The Ravya. Right? The Ravya is called the... The Rav Yah is not actually the name of the book, right? The Rav Yah is the name of the author, right? What's the name of the book? The name of the book is Avi Yosef. The name of the author is Rav Yah. We call it the Rav Yah. But it's just, what, two names are the same thing. There's the din of the sheet of the Avi Yosef and the sheet of the Ozeruah. Truth is, they're really the same sheetah. The Chassam Sofer actually says they're totally Havaha. They're both found in the Ozeruah. They're both found in his Rebbe, the Rav Yah. And they're both first found in the Rav Yah's Zaydi, the Ravan. Okay, I don't know if anyone heard of the Ravan. It's one of the things that if you go to Gush, it's like, you think it's a basic part of Judaism, like Modani. But the Ravan was one of the earlier German Rishonei Ashkenaz. He was the grandfather of the Rav Yah, who was his mother's father. It's a tricky safer to learn because they only publish a very bad manuscript and there's like a total sofer every four words, so it's a little frustrating. But in any case, the Ravan says both these shitas, the Rav Yah quotes both these shitas, the Ezra has both these shitas, but somehow randomly one of them became known as the shita of the Avi Asaf, but one of them became known as the shita of the Ezra, even though they're both said by all of these. Rishonim. It was just a certain Masorah. The Ravan started this Masorah, or we don't know where he might or might not have gotten it from. He passed it down to his grandson, the Rav Yah, who passed it down to his Talmud Muvak, the Orzeruah. So, what's the Shita? Let's start with the Shita of the Avi Yosef. The Avi Yosef says that... Maybe we'll have to end it there also. Okay. Says the Avi... The Avi Yosef says, an Ona is not a day or a night. It's 12 hours. Now, here is something which is a little confusing. If you read the Shach here... He says, the Avi Yosef shows manios. That means the opposite of what we mean by shows manios. When we say shows manios, we mean like twelfths of the day, not clock hours on a 60-minute clock. When the Shach says shows manios, it's not a kasha, it's just you can use words however you want. It's just an unfortunate coincidence that he used the word the opposite of how we always learned the word since we were like old enough and like, fifth grade to learn Tefillas HaShachar, and our Rebbe told us about Shos Manios. When the Shach says Shos Manios, he means 60-minute clock hours. So that's, hopefully you didn't get too confused by this. It's even more confusing because then he used some examples of Shos Manios, which the Echron and point out are not true, and it's a bit of a confusing line. Lemaisa says the Rav Yah, the Avi Yosef, and Veset is 12 hours on our modern clock, 720 minutes. How does he express that in his days? He didn't have clocks. He says, it's a daytime or a nighttime in the spring and the fall, which are each 12 hours. And in the winter and the spring, it's half the day plus half the night. Basically what he's saying, from noon to midnight, or from midnight to noon. That's how in the old days you would say 12 regular 60-minute hours. Right? You didn't have 60-minute clocks. You would say, how would you say 12 hours? You would say, half the day and half the night, midnight to noon, or noon to midnight. That was 12 hours. Says the Avi Asaf, the period is not a daytime or a nighttime, not light or darkness, it's 12 hours. The big mystery of the Avi Asaf is, which 12 hours did he mean, right? The Tazwan, what, he meant the 12 hours after the time you expect your period? The 12 hours before the time you expect your period? Those are both. Very silly. So they say, you know what he must have meant? He must have meant 6 hours before you expected and 6 hours after. Maybe that's what the Avi Yosef meant. Okay, because we're not even sure which 12 hours he meant. Like, if it's daytime or nighttime, we know what he meant. But daytime or daytime, nighttime, which 12 hours? Right? He has enough trouble expressing 12 hours before they had modern clocks. Which 12 hours did he mean? So the Taz says he thinks he meant 6 hours before the period and 6 hours after the period. From the Shach, it doesn't. I'm not sure it sounds like that. This Shach is not 100% clear, but Okay, the Pashup shot is that what he means is from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. or 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's probably what he means. You know, he just means like the 12 nighttime hours or the 12 daytime hours. So we're not sure exactly what, sorry, the Aviyosaf meant. Let's just put it on the board. What is an Ona? Right, what is an Ona? So what is an Ona? So the Rov Rishonim and Rov Achronim, including on Ardaf the Taz, and the Pischei Tshuva, Sivkat Zion, quoting the Achronim, say daytime or nighttime. Says the Ravon / Rav Yah / Or Zeruah, which is known in halachic language as the Aviyosaf, Shitas Aviyosaf, and very surprisingly, the Shach thinks Pashut is right, which is a very surprising thing. Why he would think that? Because the Shach is always very logical. It just seems so not like our usual halachas. It's also like Kriyashma, but that's not true. Kriyashma, we go by where the sun is. No one ever heard of 60 minute hours for Kriyashma. And he says, oh, my chametz. Chametz is 2 deos. Where the head arm minhag is that we go by where the sun is, right? So sun achilas chametz depends on the angle of the sun. Doesn't matter how many hours pass in the pot. So that's very strange. He says, nope, it means 12 60-minute hours. Right, but the Shach calls Shosmanios, which is what we don't call Shosmanios. Which 12 hours? We're not sure. Either 6 hours before the expected period, 6 hours after, or maybe 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., like the 12 night hours or the 12 day hours. There is a bit of logic in the Shach.
What's different than the first opinion?
What?
What's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.? That's no different than the first opinion.
No, because it depends what season it is. And
when does it start?
6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. I mean local time, not standard time, right? So in Jerusalem, that would be around, let's say, 11:40 p.m. to 11:40 a.m. or 11:40 a.m. to 11:40 p.m. when it's standard time, and 12:40 to 12:40 when it's daylight savings time, moving a couple of minutes here and there based on astronomy that I can explain to you if you care, but you probably don't. You should, but you don't. And it would take me a while to explain. Anyway, Lemaisa, which 12 hours? We're not sure. The Taz thinks 12 hours with the period of time in the middle, like you expect at 4 p.m., so from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The push-up shot is no. It means like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And there is a certain logic to that, because one thing would turn out funny. What would turn out funny? Let's say she always gets her period at 7 p.m. And it's June, July, August, September. So she has a daytime veses. All of a sudden in October, she's keeping the daytime veset, but 7 p.m. is at night. So she's actually not keeping the veset at the hour when she usually gets it. So all the other shonen say, that's true, because her body follows the light, not the hour. Shach would say, no, gotta go by the hour. Okay, so Lemaisa, we're not sure which 12-minute hours, right? Is it 6 before and 6 after, which that the Taz understand, not that the Taz likes it? Or is it 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.? Or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., meaning with midnight in the middle or high noon in the middle, right? In other words, approximate day or night, just not seasonal. Lemaisa, how do we paskin? The Shach has convinced me whole like the Aviyasa, but says it was a tshuva, all the Achronim disagree. Lemaisa, we are no one in the world is choshish for that Shach. But no one in the world. I don't know, it's probably some weirdo someplace. But no one that we've ever heard of or community that we've ever heard of is Paskins like the Shach, like the Aviyasa here. Everyone says it's just daytime or nighttime. Okay, we'll have to come back next time to talk about the Or Zeruah and continue in this sitter.
If we paskin,
you'll get the board zone?
I
mean the second one.
Yes.